I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, all you motherfuckers.
Politics. Politics. Humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64.
Yeah.
You're listening to Art Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hello, hello. This is Bart Cop coming to you live from K-Drag, Oklahoma, with another rip-roaring, ear-popping, head-spinning Volume 87 of Bart Cop Radio. Heard on the Bart Cop Radio Networks, seen on BartCop.com. Oh, we got a big, big show for you today. We got trip reports. We got cooked mice. We've got poker talk. We've got poker talk that's not poker talk. Oh, stay tuned for that. We got letters to the editor. We got headlines, news, and comment. We're going to hear something from Mr. John Kerry. We're going to hear Hillary attack the president. Going to hear a voice from the past that, if you have a heart, just might make you cry. But we're not crying here, because we got the Chinaco Anejo. We're going to do a sip of that. Oh, it tastes so good. Okay, no time to waste. Let's get the big, big show. Okay, got a big stack of stuff to go through. Let's get after it. Here's the headline for you. United States, $400 billion in the red this year, says the White House, which is a lying some bitch, the White House is. The White House projected a 2006 budget deficit of more than $400 billion Thursday, a sharp increase over the July forecast of $341 billion. So they just stole $60 billion. And for Bush, that's nothing. He steals that every day before lunch. Joe Kaplan, Deputy Director of the White House Office of Management and Budget, blamed the increase on a temporary event, the cost of recovering from Hurricanes Katrina and Rita. No, Bush is going to steal that money from Hurricanes Katrina and Rita, that bastard. The projection, which would be 3% of gross domestic product, could intensify an election year debate about whether to renew tax cuts. Bush pushed through Congress during the first year in office. Kaplan said that by sticking to Bush's economic policies and spending restraint, oh my God, did he use those words? Spending restraint? Like Reagan, Bush has spent more money than all presidents combined. Think about that. Reagan spent more money than all presidents combined. And now here comes this monkey Bush behind him, who has spent more than Reagan and every other president, plus Clinton, plus his father. He just has gone crazy with our money. $400 billion in red just this year. And you know that's going to be a lie, because halfway through the year, they're going to say, oh, we had another unforeseen event, so it's going to be $800 billion instead of $400. My God, what's wrong? And then he has the balls to use the word spending restraint. Please. Oh, if only we could get a Democrat to speak up and reject this bullshit. Check it out. The Democrats are the party of fiscal responsibility, but they're going to keep real quiet about that. They're not going to call Bush on this stuff. And it's just crazy. What is wrong with the Democrats that they just refuse to fight back? This Kaplan says, we will return to our downward trajectory and remain on path to cut the deficit in half by 2009. Bullshit. Bullshit. You know, another thing I hadn't talked about. They're doing something with the environment. You know, I don't know if it's the emission standards or what it is. Bush has come up with this phony plan that I think it's by 2018, they're going to knock 20% of the pollution down. You know, so instead of whatever, 100 billion tons of pollution, there's only going to be 80 billion. But that's by the year 2017. And you know what? I guarantee these some bitches what they're going to do. In 2016, they're going to say, oh, darn, it looks like we're not going to make our quota. Unforeseen events, just like this money here that they're stealing. It is just so far in the future. That means they're going to pollute like sons of bitches until then. And then the day before the deadline is supposed to be met, they're going to say, whoops, sorry. And the Democrats will say, oh, that's okay. Jeez, that pisses me off. You know, there's a lot of power involved with the wording of a poll question. I want to read you a paragraph I saw in the U.S. Whore today. is about the assisted suicide thing in Oregon, but this little bit's not about that. It's about polls and wording of the polls. A USA Today poll in September found that 54% of Americans said doctors should be allowed to help someone end his or her life. End his or her life was in quotes. Approval dropped to 46%, however. That's an 8 points difference. When the other poll respondents were asked the question using the words commit suicide instead of end his or her life. Now, isn't that weird? When they say, do you want to end your life? But 54% say, yeah, that should be allowed. When you say, do you want to commit suicide? 8% say, whoa, no. Are you kidding? Not me. But dude, what do you think end your life means? And why did I bring that up? Because anytime you see a poll reported in the news, you have to look at exactly what the poll said. You have to look at the wording, because they just proved right there, depending on how you word it. So next time you hear Rush or one of these liar monkeys explain to you, polls show this. Well, show me. Give me the words here. Prove it. Get it on the internet. Let us look at it word by word and see exactly what people were agreeing to. Because as we just saw, people are going to change their mind depending on which word you use. Here we got another story in the USA Today. National poker craze drawing attention of law enforcement as gangs from New York to California busted, some calling for laws to be updated. A few evenings a month, Cal Such used to head to the 14th Street PlayStation in Manhattan. Despite its name and the free Oreos and pretzels, there was no electronic game in sight. Instead, this dude, a history teacher, and a motley crew of investment bankers, cab drivers, and retirees gathered in the nondescript office space and played Texas Hold'em. Oh, my God. Then in May, the PlayStation was shut down, one of several underground poker games raided and closed by the New York police last year. I miss that world, he says. Every night, a lot of the same folks would be there, and we'd sit around and play poker. There was a certain respect in the air. In the last 5 years, poker has become a national craze. Hands are dealt on the internet and TV shows such as Celebrity Poker, Yeah, Yeah, Yeah. With poker's growing popularity, has come greater scrutiny by law enforcement agencies, and arrests and crackdowns are taking place all over the country. Oh, thank God. It isn't illegal in most states to play poker at home among family and friends, but running a game and making a profit is often a crime. Check that out. It's often a crime. That ought not to even be a phrase, often a crime. Something's either moral or it's not. Something's either legal or it's not. It's often a crime. That's a dumb phrase. Says Nelson Rose, professor at Whittier Law School in Costa Mesa, an expert on gambling laws. There are different sets of laws for players as opposed to the operators. Most of the time, players are not breaking the law. Most of the time, the operators, if they are running it for profit, are. So maybe we didn't commit a crime when we got together 4, 5, 6 times and played some poker. But the idea, if you can gamble with stocks, why can't you gamble with cards? Isn't gambling gambling? If you buy a house, aren't you gambling? What if you buy a rent house and it turns out, oh, it's got a whole lot more problems than you thought, and the roof needs fixing, you need a new air conditioner, oh my God, you end up losing money. That should be a crime, right? People, they just pick something out and they just decide they're going to go against all logic and they're just going to hate something. This time it's poker, which is often a crime.
Stand by for our party music suite.
Welcome back. Three powerful politicians pitting themselves against President Bush. Senators John Kerry and Hillary Clinton and former Vice President Al Gore. In my exclusive interview with Senator Kerry, I pressed him on his fellow Democrats' new and fierce attacks on the Bush administration. Listen to what the former Vice President Al Gore said yesterday on the president's authorization of these secret wiretaps by the National Security Agency without warrants, court warrants. Listen to this.
What we do know about this pervasive wiretapping virtually compels the conclusion that the President of the United States has been breaking the law repeatedly and insistently.
You agree with him?
Yes.
So what does that mean if the president is breaking the law? What's the remedy?
Well, the president, first of all, with respect to breaking the law, the law that we passed clearly envisioned. I mean, the reason we created it, congressional intent could not be more clear here. We created a court. We gave that court the power on moment's notice, set up only for the purpose of approving these warrants, to be able to review them in order to protect the constitutional rights of Americans, particularly with a view to what happens when you don't do that. That's number one. Number two, out of 16,000, I think, 700 warrants that have been issued, only four have been refused in that entire period of time. And finally, nothing in the law that the administration has pointed to, which the Congress passed to respond to 9/11, where we authorized the use of force, nothing contemplated this kind of constitutional violation. So it is a clear violation of the law. There are any number of different recourses that could be taken. With a Republican Congress, we've had a particularly hard time getting any legitimate recourse taken under almost any circumstances, because we don't have the power to issue subpoenas. We don't have the power to call hearings. So I think we have to continue to present this issue to the American people, and I hope the administration will, of its own admission and its own steps, reverse course, admit the mistake, and try to guarantee that the protections put in place are adhered to.
Senator John Kerry explaining one of the reasons why he lost to Bush, because he is so mealy-mouthed and he wants to take 700 words that not everybody understands to describe a damn simple concept.
And try to guarantee that the protections put in place are adhered to.
John, why can't you say Bush needs to stop breaking the law? No, you can't say something that simple. You got to go lofty rhetoric, bizarre nutto here, and nobody's following what you're saying. I mean, sure, some people are, but trust me, the voters aren't. What's wrong with you? John, can't you learn? Can't any Democrats learn? We keep stepping in the same hole again and again. Just makes you want to drink.
I want to also get your comment on what Senator Hillary Clinton said yesterday in going after the Bush administration. Listen to her pointed remarks.
I predict to you that this administration will go down in history as one of the worst that has ever governed our country.
Do you agree with her on that?
I think this administration is one of the most derelict in responsibility in the history. Sure, I don't disagree with her. I mean, almost every single issue of importance, with a completely apolitical point of view. Look at health care in America. What's their plan? They have no plan. Look at General Motors and Ford that are facing the potential of bankruptcy and the loss of jobs overseas. What is the plan? They're not even engaged in major discussions to figure out how we move forward. Look at what's happened to investment in research and development and technology and science and all of the things that create the jobs of the future. We're going backwards. The promise of No Child Left Behind has been left behind. The environment, we are literally going backwards. I mean, I'm not going to run the gamut in the list here,
right,
but the bottom line is that we are not as safe in the world as we ought to be, and we are not facing up to our responsibilities at home as we ought to be, and I think history will be a harsh judge of those realities.
We have 10 seconds left. Do you want to tell our viewers how are you going to vote on the Samuel Alito nomination?
No, not from here, and not without having had a chance to review the hearings fully, but I will be back in a couple of days, and I intend to do that as soon as I get back.
Okay, let's get into a trip report. We left Tulsa on a Thursday night. We took the red eye to Phoenix. Well, I don't know if it's really the red eye, but it was dark when we got on the jet. And of course, we flew Southwest because it's free. Can't beat a free flight. Unless it's on a real airline. So we flew to Phoenix. And it was not a fun flight because there was kids everywhere. We were surrounded by kids. I don't like kids. Seems like God is always sending Mrs. Bart and I a reminder of why we have no kids. But it was like a damn Steve Martin movie. The kids behind us kicking the seat and screaming and yelling and throwing things and crying. And I know kids, you know, you can't explain to a baby, well, swallow and pop your ears and it'll feel better. You can't do that. And I feel bad for the babies. But children, anyone that can understand, Daddy's going to give you the backhand and make you bleed if you do that again. Now, see, kids ought to be able to understand that. Any kid over the age of whatever, 3, you know, I always tell Mrs. Bart, if we had kids, one stern look from Daddy and they would straighten right up, I promise. Oh, and speaking of Steve Martin, when was the last time he did a funny movie? One of the reviews I read, he just did this Cheaper by the Dozen number 2 or something, which, Steve, you're such a whore. Cheaper by the Dozen, I would never see a movie like that, but Cheaper by the Dozen apparently made some money, so they thought, oh, we'll do Cheaper by the Dozen 2. I mean, that is filmmaking masturbation. If you need some money, you know, if you're a star down on his luck and, you know, your house is crumbling and you just got to have, you know, $50,000 and then you do a movie like that, I understand. But one of the reviews I read for Cheaper by the Dozen 2 is, how could someone of Steve Martin's, majesty, or they made it sound like Steve Martin was on the Rushmore of comedy, which, oh, please, are you kidding? Can anybody name the last good movie Steve Martin did? As far as I'm concerned, it would be The Jerk, which was the first movie he ever made, and that wasn't that funny. There was 3 or 4 gags in there. I just don't see it. Maybe you think Steve Martin's the funniest person. You know, I'll tell you, there was a time, 25, 30 years ago, Steve Martin was hosting for Johnny Carson, and one of his guests was Richard Pryor. The whole TV-watching public was just, my God, you wouldn't believe the anticipation. The two funniest people in the world, sure, back in the late 70s, Steve Martin and Richard Pryor. And when Richard came out, nothing worked. I don't know if they canceled each other out or if they knew each other and, you know, some reason there was no chemistry, but anyway, it was terrible. Poor Steve Martin. I don't know how he makes money. I don't know why people pay to see his movies. I haven't seen Steve Martin do a funny thing. You know, even when he did like the Oscars or whatever a while back, maybe he had a couple of good lines. Christ, you give me a year to write a 5-minute monologue and it's going to be the damn funniest thing you ever heard. Okay, back to the trip report. It was just like a Steve Martin movie all the way out there, which means it was no fun. So we landed at Sky Harbor Airport. Don't you love the Sky Harbor? Landed at Sky Harbor Airport, and we had rented I told him I wanted a convertible. You think Phoenix is sunny and such and such. And then I got to thinking, no, we had a convertible in Chicago, and it's the loudest damn thing in the world. And, you know, when you're driving down the highway, you just feel like you're in a big-ass truck. You feel like you're riding in the back of a pickup is what it feels like. So when I got there, I said, give me something better than give me a Buick LeSabre, $88 for 2 days, 3 days, whatever it was. And it was such a piece of crap. What is wrong with Detroit? Note to self, get rid of Avis. Don't rent any more American cars. You know, they gave us, I swear to God, a dirty-ass car. They gave us a dirty car. And, I mean, downside, it hadn't been washed. And I thought, well, you know, it was late, we were tired, we left here in the dark, so by the time we got to Phoenix, it was whatever, 9, 10 o'clock. We just didn't care. Fine, give us a car, we want to get to the hotel. But when I brought it back, I complained to him. Oh, as a matter of fact, that's one of the pictures. You're going to see one of the pictures of the dirty car. When I brought it back to the Avis people, I said, you know, this was a dirty car when you guys gave it to me. They said, oh, our car wash is broke, but don't worry. In 2 weeks, we're moving to our brand new facilities. And I think, oh, so you've identified the reason why you gave me the dirty car. How wonderful. They didn't give me a clean car, but thankfully, they identified the reason why they gave me a dirty-ass car. Now, here we're riding around one of the most beautiful, we'll say, sections of the whole country, and we got dirty windows. Idiots. Okay, so from there, we just made over to the Holiday Inn Express, which was woefully overpriced. When we go to St. Louis, we sometimes stay at the Holiday Inn Express. It's $60, 70, you know, 62, something like that, for a really nice room. You get your high speed. It's a brand new place. Everything's fine. It's right next to the relatives and all that. And it's, like I say, $60, $65. But it was more than that in Phoenix. Shame, shame, shame on them. So we checked in. And, of course, they always give us the... We had to walk by 40 or 50 doors, you know, to get to our room. Sure, we always, no matter what, casinos, wherever we go, we can't get a room anywhere near the damn elevator. Okay, so we get in the room. We were so tired, we didn't even eat. That's how tired we were. It must have been those peanuts that filled us up on the Southwest flight. So before we went to bed, had an early, early appointment the next day. So before we went to bed, I clicked on some Larry King. There was Howard Stern. It was kind of funny. Howard Stern was on there saying, Larry... It hit me like a bolt. This, he's talking about in 2004, I think, he got the idea to go to Sirius Radio or whatever. You know, that deal was made like a year ago. And he said, Larry, I got to think about it, and it was just so revealing and overwhelming. I got to think that when I get on satellite, I'll be able to say anything I want. I don't have the FCC on my back. I'm not going to have a bunch of old women on my back if I use a bad word. I don't have a program director standing over me saying, you got to talk about this and you can't talk about that. Larry, I'm going to have absolute total freedom. I can say anything I want. And the feeling is just so invigorating and it's so encouraging and it's going to be the one. And I'm thinking, Howard, I had that back in 2003. I've had that for years. Nobody tells me what to say on the radio. I can say any damn thing I want. I can use any kind of curse words that I want. I can talk about any subject that I want. Of course, if I get too far off the track, I'll just lose more subscribers in a week than I usually do. So, yeah, that kind of keeps... And to Howard's credit, I heard him say he wasn't going to do a lot of cursing on his show. I haven't heard the new show. I've heard some things I didn't like. You know, even when he's on Larry King, he's talking about doing diaper shows. Then Howard, you know, there's like 60, 70% of Howard that I think is great. And then there's that third that, you know, dude, knock it off. You probably think the same thing about old Bart. If he would just shut up about the tequila, if he would just shut up about Shirley Manson, if he just shut up about the poker. I know there's certain things that everybody doesn't like. Letterman, boy, it'd be great if he didn't have on basketball stars and racing. Race car drivers. I have no interest in basketball. I got no interest in race car drivers. But yeah, you got to put up with it if you like Dave. Okay. But Howard was just amazed about all the freedom he was going to have once he got away from the FCC. Hey, fuck the FCC and fuck Bush too. There's freedom on the internet. Howard's acting like in 2006. Whoa, freedom is here. No, Howard. You know, speaking of also, coming up next month is our 10th anniversary. Barkup.com. First email we sent out was February 26th, I think. It's show number one, to be specific. If you go to barkup.com/0001.htm, no, as a matter of fact, don't, because it's really, it was like humor was born that day, and humor had a long way to go. Okay, back to the story. So Howard was so happy that he's now has reached the level of barkup.com. Of course, he gets paid a little more than I do. As a matter of fact, son of a bitch, he got... $220 million like that day. His stock, they gave him something, 20 million shares of stock when they signed the deal a year ago. And in that year, the stock doubled. So the $100 million he was supposed to get turned into $230 million. Howard, if I was you, I'd cash about half of that. Don't take all that stock and go somewhere. Sirius could go down. Don't make the mistake. Don't make the mistake William Shatner did when he went to Priceline. They said, "Bill, would you want to? We'll give you $1 million, or we'll give you a million shares of stock." And he said, "Well, I'll take the stock." Stock went to $10 million, and Shatner sat on it, and then the stock went down to like $1 million again. It's like Bill. So, well, but in general, that's a good rule. If you own stock in something and it goes to the roof, it's like playing poker. Everything's like playing poker. If you sit there at a poker table and you win a massive pot, get the hell up and leave. Or find the wife. Give her half the money. Sit back down. Do something. But don't, you know, no sense in gambling. Can't believe I said that. Okay. Woke up the next morning. Went to the Mayo Clinic in Scottsdale, Arizona. Boy, you talk about a spiffy place. We'd been to Scottsdale before, but woo, boy, been a lot of years, and you wouldn't believe you can just, like in Vegas, as far as I know, there's three places. I'll bet there's a bunch, but Vegas, Beverly Hills, and Scottsdale, you can just stand around the corner. As we're driving down the street, we're seeing all these cars we'd never seen before. I saw models of Mercedes and, you know, just cars like that that I'd never seen before. I guess these are over $100,000 a piece, but if you're seriously, monstrously rich, apparently you go to Vegas, or you live in Scottsdale. I guess if you're a baked potato, you just love living in Scottsdale. Anyway, Scottsdale has got some really fine houses, got a bunch of really fine cars, interesting place. So, went over to the Mayo Clinic, and check it out. My Mrs. Bart's health insurance is, I don't know the words, but it's affiliated. You know, Mayo Clinic is under their umbrella or something. So what did this trip to the Mayo Clinic cost me? $30. Check that out. Free flight, $30 copay for the Mayo Clinic, and a hotel, well, and car rental. But that was pretty much it. It was close to a free trip. Another thing, you know, I'm at that odd age. I'm 52. If I go, say, to a garbage concert, I'm the oldest guy in the room. You know, maybe I just can't grow up, but I'm the oldest guy. When we go to a concert, we go to an event, a thing, I'm always the oldest guy in the room. At the Mayo Clinic, I was the youngest guy in the whole clinic. Everybody I saw, everybody, I'm telling you, everybody was old. We're talking about 70, 80, you know, kind of old, about very old. A lot of people on walkers, a lot of the, oh, great. Why am I here? So I get to the Mayo Clinic, and I meet my doctor, and I'll be damned, just looking at him, I had all the confidence in the world. Do you ever watch Alias? He looked just like Irvin Sloan. He's the evil genius. He may be the smartest man on TV. Of course, he's very, very evil, and he murders a lot of people, but that's okay. But he's really, really smart, and that's what I want in a doctor, a really, really smart doctor. So we sit down, and the doctor says, so why are you here? And I said, well, I got a monkey for a doctor back in Oklahoma, and he's not too worried about me. Well, he's not wanting to fight anything. He's wanting to get me ready for the angels, and I just ain't playing the angel bit. Do you understand? And so he kind of smiled. He gave me that knowing smile. He didn't want to say anything bad about the doctor. He didn't want to say anything bad about religion, but he just, I could tell, you know, my poker skills. I read his face. I could tell. So we did this. We did that. He said, give us some blood. We'll call you in a few days or a week or something, give you the results. And I said, okay. There was another potentially funny part. When you go to a new medical clinic or whatever you call that, they want to know all about your history. Tell us everything that ever happened to you medically. And so I got to the part, he asked about, in 88 or so, I had my knee scoped, is what they call that. And remember I told you when I had that last knee problem, they said the idiot doctor did such a bad job. So he said, I was afraid I was going to have to have surgery. Remember my 50th birthday, son of a bitch, I wake up in Vegas and my knee is just killing. I mean, it's torn cartilage city, I could just tell. And ordinarily you think, oh yeah, Bart got drunk, fell on a step. No, that didn't happen. But I wake up, my knee hurt like a mother bear. So went to the doctor, and the doctor's, after looking at it and taking x-rays and everything, he comes up to me with this really somber, this is an old radio show, I remember telling this story, but he comes up to me with this really somber look, and he's going, I got bad news. I'm going, no, trust me, doc, you don't have any bad news about my knee, trust me. And he said, your knee's so tore up, all you need to do, your knee's so tore up, what you need to do is hang on as long as you can, and at some point we'll give you an artificial knee. And I thought, well, why not give me an artificial knee now? And he said, well, you only get one. I don't understand that, but they said, you only get one. So, you know, the trick is to put that off as far as you can. And so, but we do have the turkey waddle that we can inject in your knee. And so when Dr. Irvin Sloan here has asked me about my history, and I told him I had the turkey waddle in my knee. He looked at me, he's like, what? I'll never forget that look on his face. He looked at me like, oh, Christ, what kind of medical, what kind of medicine you got back there in Oklahoma? They put turkey waddle in your own knee. Oh, you're talking about Civic or something. It's got, you know, they don't want to use turkey waddle in the medical rooms. I mean, no, they got to invent a Latin name for it because it's just not cool, you know, so. He said, oh, okay, now I understand. Yeah, turkey waddle, I get it. So here it is now, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. He says, that's all. You know, we talked about a little of this, a little of that. What he didn't say is the disease you have is the disease you have. I told him about that, and he smiled again. And I think he thought that I might be the type of guy, didn't want to put up with a lot of bullshit. So all that's done with. So, hey, it's Friday morning. We're in Scottsdale, Arizona. We got a car with some gas in it, and we got nothing to do. So we jumped in our piece of crap car, and we drove north to Sedona. Boy, if you've never been to Sedona, it's really, really nice. They got these giant mountains that are like red half the way up, and then they turn yellow. Oh, it's just really, really nice. Yeah, yeah. So we drive around a little bit. They have this north. Sedona is too expensive for us, and it's too hoity-toity, you know, with their Hyatts and their, you know, all their super million-dollar hotels and that. We like to kind of make fun of the rich people sometimes, but we're not going to pay that for a hotel, trust me. So we drove past Sedona. We went to Oak Creek Canyon. Now, Oak Creek is a little tiny creek, and I'm talking about a tiny creek. I don't know how many gallons at a time goes through it, but, we're, you know, I could throw a 20-pound sack of flour over the creek. It's a very small creek. I could throw a 50-pound sack of flour over the creek. So Mrs. Bart said she wanted to stay in a rustic cabin. So we found the little rustic cabins of Pinyon Point. And so she said, oh, let's stay there. And when you ask, I can hear you now, how rustic was it? Well, it had a TV, cable, satellite, the whole riff. It had a real fireplace, not one of those pretend fireplaces, but it had a real fireplace with wood and everything. And it had mice. So I'm thinking, well, yeah, this is rustic. I did not tell Mrs. Bart about the mice. Well, I eventually did, but when I saw the mouse, I didn't scream, eek, a mouse. You know, I kept that to myself because last thing I need is her about midnight saying, I ain't staying in this place. Great. Great. It's effing midnight. We're in Arizona, and she don't want to stay there. She wants to, you know, that wasn't going to happen. So I kind of waited until we were committed. Okay, so then I told her about the mouse. And interesting enough, after where the mouse went, the mouse ran from behind the TV into the fireplace. Now, is how crazy is that? Well, you got a super mouse that just run into the fireplace. Actually, he ran into a hole in the wall that housed the fireplace. But I tell you, I have many talents. One of my many talents, I can build a fire. I can build a fire like nobody you ever saw. Now, of course, I need matches. I'm not one of those guys who get out in the woods and boom, I just, you know, fire erupts. No, I got to have matches, but I will give you a roaring fire. You give me 5 minutes, I'll show you some roaring fire. And we had us a fire going. Anyway, so a little mouse ran in there. So, what else happened? This is, I don't know how interesting this will be, but I thought it was damn interesting, and it gives us a nice little sidebar. Hold on for the sidebar.